Live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios, welcome back to the Greg Vogue and John Burton Show.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
who wants to party?
On the radio.
Hold on to your hat.
There are a bunch of drama queens that spend an hour talking and 20 minutes jumping around while blows up.
This is the Greg Vogue and John Burton Show, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Hold it!
Call now at 844-5600.
We are created to serve a singular purpose for which we will go to any length to fulfill.
Now, here are your hosts, Greg Vogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
It is hour number two right here at Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. Remind you, we will not be at Kitchen Notes tomorrow morning, as we usually do on the first Friday. That will be moved 2 weeks. What a week from Wednesday. Commitments. Bill King from Bar Lines will be doing all 5 hours down there that morning. We need to go down there and wreak havoc. In other words, eat their food and leave. No, I wouldn't do that, but they got people coming from all over the country, really.
New Jersey,
that would be part of all over the country, yep. Yes. So, we've got that. So we won't be at Kitchen Notes tomorrow morning. By the way, our Picking with the Pickers guest, presented by Tim Leeper Roofing and Bento Living, Chestnut Hill, the Heart Restaurant, Hope Hines. We just got to do Hope every year. So Hope's going to be on with us tomorrow morning. Let you do the honors. I've known John since 1998.
God, you guys are old.
I've known he was Memphis Commercial Appeal.
Yep.
He covered the Tennessee Oilers that year. Mm-hmm. Then he came on up here and was the very first longtime beat writer for the Nashville Predators.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's the pride of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Covers Preds for NHL.com. Covers Titans for SI.com. The great John Glennon. Johnny!
How are you guys? I appreciate that wonderful intro.
Oh, thank you. Well, listen, it's well deserved, man. And I was telling you recently, I was in your neck of the woods, your beautiful hometown of Alexandria, Virginia, enjoying the old town trappings there. What a beautiful, beautiful city.
Great, great vibe. So glad you got up there right around the holidays, especially. A very much tamer vibe of a Nashville, where you've got a long strip of restaurants, bars, places mm-hmm. to listen to music. Not quite as wacky as our own downtown Nashville.
Not quite.
But very enjoyable. I highly recommend to anyone taking a trip to the Washington, D.C. area.
So you don't have anybody with a John Deere tractor pulling a bachelorette party on a truck full of a bed of hay,
yeah,
right?
A bunch of girls going, woo!
No, we haven't seen any, roaming hot tubs or pedal taverns in that neck of the woods. It's a little bit settled.
Whoa, slow. That's a roaming hot cubs.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to use that
I want to start here. You know, we've had several months now to really, really evaluate this Titans trading A.J. Brown to the Eagles. And I go back to part of me feels like a lot of this could have been avoided. I think there was butthurt feelings and some ego on both sides that led to this. What say you?
I think you're probably on the right path there. I actually wrote a little bit about that, probably earlier in the season. And to me, you could make a comparison to the Deebo Samuel situation in San Francisco in that, both those players, were wide receiver, both Deebo and A.J. Brown were guys that same draft class, were looking to capitalize on the big surge in the market, had been very productive in their early years. And both of them were very, disgruntled that contract wasn't coming quickly. Deebo Samuel was even louder about and more public about saying he wanted out, he wanted a trade. And the 49ers kind of took a different path. They sort of waited it out. They said, basically this is going to pass. We're going to work something out. And they did, and the Titans chose a different route. I agree with you. I think there were probably, a little bit of, disappointment on the Titans side of things that A.J. Brown sort of, went public to a degree in his unhappiness. The fact that he cut off communications with them too. You know, I think he started to make it clear that if he wouldn't get that money soon, then he wanted to leave. But, you know, but nonetheless, the Titans still had the upper hand in that he was still under contract. I think, you know, maybe in retrospect, you know, and I don't know this for a fact, maybe John Robinson might say in hindsight, hey, maybe I wish I would have, waited a little longer and seen if we could work things out. But we are where we are, and now the Titans have to kind of make do with the haul that they got in for A.J. Brown.
At 7-4, leading the division, a poor division, we know that, but most likely in the playoffs, the goal every year to get there. If they're the 3 seed, they're going to get a home game. We've seen in recent games, I think Cincinnati is now going to become on a stretch drive here where they're going to be a top player. We see the Chiefs, the overtime loss there. The Bills, I don't think they could handle the Titans the way they did then. And that's even without all the missing pieces. DeNico Autry out now, Simmons being dinged. You know, we can go on and on and on. The offensive line, ragtag and all of that. And my point is this, is this team ready to win a Super Bowl? No. But right now, as constituted, it's about as good as it can get.
I think that's fair as well. You know, I think a lot, you know, the kind of the stat that's come up a lot this week is that, hey, the Titans have only beaten one team with a winning record, and that's the Washington Commanders, and they weren't a winning team at that point. So, you know, it's easy to raise the question, can the Titans get it done against some of these better teams? But, you know, when you look at the outcomes of those games, aside from week 2 in Buffalo, which we all know was a complete blowout, the Bills kicked the Titans all over the field, but in the other losses since then, not necessarily since then, but the Giants was before that, the Bengals, the Chiefs, all those games were games that came down to one or two critical plays. You know, if the Titans had made one or two more critical plays, they would have come out on the good side of that. So I think what I take from that is, even though the Titans haven't necessarily won those games against the top teams, they've been right there. It's not as if, again, outside of Buffalo, and that was week 2, that they're getting blown out by the good teams. And, yeah, you know, you look at what this defense has done, and I think this defense will keep the Titans in just about any game against any opponent at this point. The question the Titans will have to answer come postseason is not only can they score enough points to win one game against a good team, but can they go on a run with this offense? And you know, that's a significant question in my mind right now. It's one thing to, you know, put up 27 against Green Bay and, you know, Ryan Tannehill throwing for 300 yards every now and then, but can you do it on a consistent basis? And I don't think they've answered that question yet.
John Glennon is our guest, NHL.com, SI.com. And, John, see, that's kind of my point with all this. And everything Greg just said is valid, but hasn't the goalpost moved since 2019? Shouldn't the goal be more than, hey, we're going to win our division and make the playoffs? Should it be we're trying to put ourselves in a position to win a championship? And I just don't believe, and I'm looking right at you, Greg, I just don't believe when you trade away A.J. Brown, when you make some of the moves they made, this team has not put themselves in a position to win a championship. Shouldn't that be the goal?
Well, maybe if the goalposts have moved, they can win the CFL. How about that?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Good point. Good.
You know, am I being too much of a heel here, or where do you come out of it?
And here's where we've got – each one of us have one leg in the same, sinking thing of, there.
Yeah, exactly.
But the other of it is, you know, this is a week-to-week league, and that's my point. You know, a month ago, everybody wanted to bury them, this and that. Show me where they are then, and are there enough pieces coming along? And, you know, you're going to have one home game, but I agree.
A good team.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're good enough.
Yeah. There's a lot of teams like that.
Right. And I think the Titans are one of them. What say you, John? Break the tie.
No, there's no tie. No, okay. We agree.
To me, it goes back to what we were talking about a little earlier, and that was the A.J. Brown trade. And to me, I can see you making not you, but I can see a case being made for the trade, you know, that that, you know, A.J. Brown was looking to break the bank here, you know, and they didn't want to go down that route. But at the same time, you know, this team is in a window still, you know, with some of the players they have and some of the key players and some of the ages they are, especially on offense. When you look at Tannehill, when you look at Derrick Henry, when you look at, you know, a guy like a Ben Jones has been an anchor of that offensive line. To me, they're kind of set up in a window to win now.
Right.
And that to me was the biggest question mark about trading A.J. Brown is, you know, I mean, you traded A.J. Brown and a first-round draft pick, and you got back a pretty decent group of you know, you got a ton of salary cap space. You also, you know, you wound up with McCreary, with Kyle Phillips, with Nicholas Petit-Frere, and of course, Treylon Burks. But, you know, are you realizing benefits from all those guys immediately like you would if you had hung on to A.J. Brown? That is my question, too. If this team was indeed set up for the present and the fact that they were the number one seed in the AFC last year, you know, backs that point up, then, you know, does it follow suit that you trade away a great young talent in A.J. Brown, a Pro Bowler, even if you were having a hard time making ends meet?
John, let's talk about this game on Sunday. Obviously, styles make fights, right? The Titans' defense is great against the run, and the Eagles are an outstanding running team. And it starts really with their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, but Miles Sanders is a really good running back as well. And, you know, I saw what they did against Green Bay on Sunday night, and guys were not getting touched until they're 7, 8, 9, 10 yards past the line of scrimmage. I mean, is that kind of where the rubber's going to meet the road on Sunday? Titans rush defense versus the Eagles running game?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, up until last week, you know, you certainly would have said, hey, wait till the Eagles try to run on the Titans. You know, good luck with that. You know, prior to the Bengals game, the Titans had held 8 straight opponents under 100 yards. And then kind of surprisingly, you know, a little bit out of nowhere, in my mind, all of a sudden, here are the Bengals, you know, not putting up huge rushing yardage, but certainly more than we had seen in the last couple of months against the Titans. And this was out without Joe Mixon as well. You know, it's a team that went over 100 yards and ran when it needed to,
right,
as well. So I think if you're the Titans, you're a little bit concerned about that, that all of a sudden, you know, that your armor has been dented just a bit there. And, you know, what is concerning too, not only Danico Autry going to be out for that game, but I think it's pretty clear right now that Jeffrey Simmons is not, you know, the Jeffrey Simmons we're used to seeing. He's not 100% healthy with that angle, with that ankle. So, yeah, I think it's going to be quite a challenge for this Titans defense that is used to being able to stop the run, you know, so well. And let's face it, it's going to have to be a very balanced defensive effort, too, against this club, because obviously with A.J. Brown and you know, the other great pass catchers they have, this is a very balanced Eagles offense.
Isn't this one of those like the Chiefs a few weeks ago, no way in hell, that kind of thing, and that's where they always go up there and do something? I don't know. I don't see it, and I'm not predicting it, but, you know, the number's 5.5, which – it's not a big number.
Vegas,
you
know, always knows something we don't.
And all right, I want to switch gears, okay? You ready?
Bring it.
All right. Preds, 5-1-1 in their last 7. Starting to show some life, getting some people healthy. I know Trennan's coming back. Sisson's with a go. Yossi now. Certainly what he's done in this stretch as well. Soros seems like he's settling down a little bit. I know he had a good game against the Ducks the other night with all of that. Are they over the hangover of Europe and the return here? But it just seems like they've finally are not taking on water anymore.
That's a good way to put it, because I'll add to that, Johnny, just the fact that, you know, hey, they had a couple extra days rest after the water main break. You don't like to see something like that happen, but
yeah, and it's, David Poyle at his age, I'm surprised he could pull that off.
He's a very strong man.
Yeah, he was down there with a wrench and a hammer.
Yep.
Yeah, and it is, you know, it was an ingenious plan, of course, because immediately all the fingerprints get washed away with the blood as well. So smart move on his part. But yeah, I think, you know, in general, I think they're moving in the right direction. You know, the other night they got a nice win. Some concerns I still have, despite the fact, you know, as you mentioned, that the record is clearly better. You know, a little bit too reliant at times on Saros. The other night, for instance, you know, I thought they had a chance to kind of put away the Ducks early. Didn't necessarily do it, and all of a sudden UC Saros is having to make, you know, breakaway saves and a save on a 2-on-0 rush, which is extremely difficult to do. And that's been one thing, you know, the Predators in third periods, too. They've kind of given up some leads here lately and needed to go to overtime or shootout to either win or you know, sometimes lose in the extra session as well. So I think we're getting a gradual rounding of the corner. I don't think it's a hard and sharp turn of the corner quite yet. I'd like to see also a little bit more contributions from guys like Ryan Johansson and Nito Niederreiter. Their line, to me, needs to be more productive, needs to be getting more ice time because of more productivity. So getting there, but I still think there's more of a ceiling for the Predators to reach.
Is McDonough and Josi still on the number one D pairing? I thought that was a really good move by Hines.
Yeah, they are, and that's lasted, you know, 4 or 5 games now, and I think that does seem to work out pretty well, and you know, it seems to the domino effect seems to work pretty well too. You've got Ekholm and a young guy Alexander Carrier, you know, down below them, and then the third pairing of Lauzon and Fabro has been, you know, been consistent as well. So yeah, I think having a veteran stay at home presence like McDonough has really helped Josi, and has allowed him to be his usual creative self, move all over the ice, and know that he's going to have a real solid guy, you know, to kind of have his back.
Well, obviously a big test tonight. I mean, the New Jersey Devils, the hottest, you know, probably the hottest team in the NHL. What, they went like 14 straight at one point?
I believe that's right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a big test. And you know, what's interesting, too, about the Devils is kind of one of the you know, the architects of the Devils here, and their kind of turnaround the last year, too, has been Tom Fitzgerald. You know, the former Nashville Predators captain from yesteryear.
Yeah, the very first captain, right?
Exactly, yeah. Who has you know, been kind of guiding the Devils as GM and so forth. So you know, and I'm throwing out a little speculation, looking way down the line here, but you know, at some point David Poile is going to move on from his role as GM of the Predators, and you wonder. Obviously, as we just mentioned, Tom Fitzgerald's doing a great job with the Devils. But you know, would he be tempted at all to roll on back to Nashville and serve in a similar role? Just throwing out a question there.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, who wants to live in New Jersey, for goodness?
Well, I don't know. If you got enough money, you can live.
I hope
live.
Sal's not listening.
You got
Sal,
enough money, you can live there, right?
I hope our buddy Sal in Jersey's not listening. He may be knocking on your door. You know what I'm saying?
Right next to Tony Soprano. Right in that little cul-de-sac.
Jersey looks good on you, Sal.
Yeah. Well, uh-huh. You know, you're a good guy, John. I'd hate for something bad to happen to you. You know what I'm saying?
Somebody's knocking at the door. Yeah.
At Glennon Sports is how you follow John, and always appreciate it, man. Thank you, buddy. See you.
Thanks, Johnny.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Johnny Glennon with us as well. So he agreed with everything I said. Good. All right, the rest of the hours. Rest of the hour. Give us a call. Wide open, 615-844-5600.